I appreciate this opportunity, appreciate the good singing, the testimonies. That's an encouragement to me, and I appreciate that. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Glad that you're here. Be taking your Bibles and be turning to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. This is what God told me to tell you. Amen. And so find your place there. I appreciate the opportunity and the pastor allowing me to preach. I'm nervous. I've been preaching for years, but every time I get up, I'm scared to death. But I appreciate this opportunity and appreciate the good preaching this morning. Amen. My wife said it well on the way home. She said if preachers had been preaching like that for years in America, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in today. I believe that. But we were given some instructions. You don't have to turn, but let me just tell you what the Lord showed me last night and over the last 36, 48 hours of the news and things that we've looked at. But Paul told the church at Ephesus and is telling us today in Ephesians chapter 6, he told us to suit up, to put on the armor of God. He told us who our foe was. He said in Ephesians 6:12, just jot it down, you'll probably know the verse very well, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I don't believe in changing the Word of God. I believe we could put in there, we wrestle against the wickedness in high places. I believe we could put the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Wickedness in high places. So God knew, what's happened didn't take God by surprise. God knew about this, and our salvation's still sure. Our home's still heaven. God's still on the throne. And so we have much to rejoice about, even in the dark days in which we live. Amen. Don't quit and give up the fight. As the preacher said this morning, we need to stand. Amen. Well, Mark chapter 8. I'm interested in some of these verses this evening, and the Lord's kind of, I looked at some things today, and I'll be honest, I've preached from these verses before, but there's some things I hadn't seen before. In Mark chapter number 8, there's 16 questions asked in this chapter. And before you get to, I'm not going to preach on all 16 questions, amen? But I want us to look at some things quickly, make some remarks, and I want to pick a text and preach from it and hope that it'll help us in the dark days in which we live. Take something positive to start the work week out. Notice in verse number 8, in those days, verse number 1, chapter 8, book of Mark, in those days the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him. Now mark it down. Anytime that Jesus calls his disciples or calls us as believers together, he's trying to teach them and he's trying to teach us something. He's fixing to, and I know that word fixing, it may not be pronouncing it properly, but he's fixing to show them something. He saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Now notice this, verse number 3. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. I was reading that this afternoon and it just seemed like God spoke to my heart, you know. We may go a few hours or a few days if we have to without food. And he didn't want them to go away hungry. Some of them had to go a great distance to get home. He wanted to send them away full of the physical nutrition, nourishment that they needed. Can I just apply this in a different manner? I can't go long without sitting under the preaching of the Word of God. I need that feeding. I need that spiritual food. I'm glad you're here tonight. That's a good sign that you're hungry and you're come back to the house of God. And I know many of you came to hear your pastor, and I understand that. But listen, I can't go long. I can't go many days without hearing somebody expound and preach and teach the Word of God. Jesus was concerned about them physically. He was concerned about them spiritually. For the latter part of that verse, for divers of them, or many of them, different people of them, came from afar. And his disciples answered him. Here's the question, one question, I believe the only question that the disciples ask. And the rest are Jesus' questions, I believe, in this chapter, if I have read and remember it correctly. From whence can a man... Now, that's the problem right there. From whence can a man... Y'all with me? They're looking on the human realm. They're looking in the man side of things. Are you with me? From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? I'm moving quickly as I can, but notice I got to thinking about that word wilderness. Every word in the Word of God is important. That word wilderness. Now think with me. The word wilderness, it means a solitude place. It means a desert place, a lonesome place, a waste place, a desolate place, a solitary place. Now stay with me. Just go with me just a little bit. Have you ever been in a place in your spiritual life that it just seemed like a wilderness, a desolate, nothing was happening, nothing was moving, no growth, no strength, and you just felt like you were in a wilderness place? I want to report to you tonight, God can feed you in a wilderness place the same as He can in a place that's not a wilderness. And it might look like we're in a wilderness place today. The light always shines the brightest when it's the darkest. Amen. It may be a dark day, but we as Christians need to let our light shine and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And He asked them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, 7. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. Notice in verse number 7, and they had a few small fishes. 7 loaves and a few fish. Now this is the second of the two miracles where Jesus broke bread and took fish and fed a multitude. Now notice this, verse number 9, I'm skipping down through. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and He sent them away. He sent them back home now for their journey. And straightway He entered into a ship with His disciples and came... verse number 11, and the Pharisees came forth when as soon as he leaves a place of a miracle, gets in the ship, takes a boat ride, if you will. He gets to another place that's mentioned. And when He gets there, out pops the Pharisees. The Pharisees come forth and begin to question Him when seeking of Him a sign from heaven, tempting Him. Notice verse 12. I contemplated and thought about this. Now look at one of these days I'm going to preach on when God sighed. But notice what happens here. Verse 12. And He sighed deeply in His spirit. Jesus, that these Pharisees come and they ask Him this question, tempting Him. And He sighs deeply in His spirit. That word deeply in His spirit, He sighed deeply. It has the idea that He groaned. He had been surrounded those days by people of unbelief. After the miracles that He has performed, after the good that He has done, those who had been raised from the dead, the blinded eyes opened, the lame made to walk, and they come wanting a sign. You'd say, well, Jesus must have been somewhat agitated. I believe He was. He sighed deeply because of their unbelief. Can I just say this? Unbelief grieves God. Do we not read in Hebrews 11, verse number 6, without what? Faith, it is impossible to please Him. These people didn't have any faith. Now notice as we look on. Now the disciple, notice He left them, verse number 13, I'm skipping down, and entering into a ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And then he charged them saying, take heed. Or he's telling them, he's teaching them a lesson. Take heed, beware, pay attention. I want to teach you something, fellas. Beware of the leaven. He's talking about the evil of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? Now, Jesus is talking about bread, and they're trying to blame one another. Well, why didn't we have the bread? Is our Lord upset with us? Is the idea. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because we have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye in your heart yet have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Then he says this. He goes back and gives them a history lesson. When I break the 5 loaves, now this is the other miracle with the bread. Now they just had 7 here and a few fish. He's reminding them, he said, when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, he's just fed 4,000 here. He said, don't you remember when I had 5 loaves among 5,000, how many basket full of fragments took up? And they said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4, and when the 7 among the 4,000, how many basket full of fragments took ye up? And he said, 7. And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? You see, I believe our Lord was somewhat concerned with their perception of spiritual things because they had forgot. He asked them, do you not remember? You see, they had been there. They had seen the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. And they'd seen what the Lord had just done before the boat ride and how he had fed 4,000 and the basketfuls that were taken up with a few fish. And he asked them, do you not remember? That's what I want to preach to you just a little bit tonight. Do you not remember? And I want to give you at least 3 things tonight in just a few moments that I'm going to take that maybe will help encourage us as we look back and some things that we remember. You see, out of somewhat of a lack of memory, the disciples were much like us, we are prone to forget. And we're prone to hide things in the back of our mind. But I want you to know, God has blessed us. God has blessed America. God has blessed Bible Way Baptist Church. God has blessed. If he hadn't blessed you, I just want to testify for a minute. God has been good to this preacher. God has been good. God's given me more than I need a lot of times. Not all my wants have been taken care of, but God has met my needs. And I believe I'm looking at some folks that God's been good to you. And sometimes we're just prone to forget just how good God is. You say, well, preacher, I've got all kinds of troubles. Join the crowd. Amen. It might be them troubles that God give us that keep us humble and praying and seeking his face. Amen. And I've got to move hastily on. Notice, I want to say some things as we begin to look here. Do you not remember? And if you jot down things, jot this down. Do you not remember that we have received something that we do not deserve? We have received something that we do not deserve. We don't deserve anything that we have. And if I got what I deserve tonight, I won't say what you deserve, but if I got what I deserve tonight, I'd be in hell. I'd be in hell tonight. And I hope you realize that. Notice now, do you not remember we have receive something that we do not deserve? I want you to think about forgiveness that is assured. Forgiveness that is assured. The Bible said over in 1 John chapter 2, over in 1 John, I didn't mark my Bible, 1 John 2, 2, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also the sins of the whole world. We may not like it, but I want you to realize tonight, Jesus Christ died for those people on the Supreme Court. He died for the President of the United States. He died for those that are trying to tearing down flags isn't going to change America. Let me just say this, America doesn't have a skin problem. It's got a sin problem. Amen. A sin problem. And that's the root of the problem. That's the root of all problems, the sin of man. It started in the garden, and it's not going to change till Jesus comes and raptures the church. In fact, it's not going to change until Satan is thrown into the outer darkness forever and ever. And he'll be shut up. Finally, the book of Revelation tells us, well, we have received something we do not deserve. Forgiveness assured. Let me just give you two or three things about that in the moments that we have. We are birthed because of him. I'm birthed because of him. Now listen, my dad's here tonight. My mother's no longer here. But I have a birth certificate. I used to have a passport, and I used to have all the information that says that I was born February the 22nd, 1957. That makes me 58, preacher. I'm just a little ahead of you. But I got birthed into the Barron family 58 plus years ago. But I want to make this announcement. I was birthed into the family of God on March the 17th, 1967. I had the second birth, being born again. We are birthed because of him. John 3, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It took a birth to get you in the family that you were birthed into, and it takes a birth to get you birthed into God's family as well. There's no way. Now, they may be saying you can go to heaven this way and you can go to heaven that way, and there's many ways to heaven. That's just not so. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You've got to go the Jesus route to get to heaven. Notice we are birthed by him. I'm glad that that birth transpired. I'm glad that I'm born again. That question that Nicodemus had to answer there that night in John chapter 3, we need to answer tonight. The Bible goes on to say many things about the birth. Lifted up, was he to die? It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I'm glad tonight. Listen, do you not remember? Oh, how we need to stop and just remember tonight. We've received something we don't deserve. We've been birthed because of him. I like that old song. I like that song they sang tonight. I like that, young ladies. Y'all done a great job. There is a fountain. Oh, if you ever get to the fountain where the glory comes out, where the blood of Jesus Christ can change your life completely, what a blessing. But that song, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. I won't make this announcement tonight. If you didn't know, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Well, we're birthed because of him. We've received something we don't deserve. We're birthed because of him. But can I make this announcement? We're better because of him. I'm glad we're better because of him. You know, there's a lot of things on the market today, and they say, well, now if you'll take this particular piece of vitamin or whatever it is, you'll be a better person. I want you to know tonight, and I believe you'll agree, we're better because of him. Oh my, 13 times in the book of Hebrews the word better is used. God, Hebrews 11 and verse number 40, having provided some better thing for us. Amen. I like the book of Hebrews. We can go straight into the throne room of grace. We have access to the Holy of Holies where the Old Testament priest couldn't go but once a year, and he was the only one that you and I have access now to the throne of God. I'm glad of that. That's a better thing. He's better than the angels, chapter 1, verse number 4 of the book of Hebrews. He's a better hope, chapter 7, verse number 19. He's a surety of a better testament, chapter 7, verse 22 of Hebrews. He's a mediator of a better covenant, chapter 8, verse number 6 of Hebrews. He's a better sacrifice, chapter 9, 23. Thank God for a better sacrifice. I've said this often. I don't want to make anybody's have an upset stomach, but I'm glad this morning, preacher. When I came to church and I got out of the car, I didn't have to go to the barn before I left. I don't have a barn. I got a shed. I'm glad I didn't have to go down there and grab a lamb or a goat or a turtle dove. I'm glad I didn't have to drag it into the church and it hear all the bleeding of the other animals. I'm glad we didn't have to come in here and cut the throats of animals today to make a sacrifice to worship. That's all taken care of because we have a better sacrifice. Oh, praise His good name tonight. Oh, we're better because of Him. Oh, we're better because of Him. Listen, you're a better person spiritually because of Him. I'm better because of Him. I'm birthed because of Him. But also we're blessed because of Him. I'm glad I'm blessed. Aren't you glad you're blessed? You say, well, preacher, I don't feel blessed. Well, you're blessed if you can just feel. Amen. We're blessed because of Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in, it's not Allah, it's not Muhammad, it's in Christ. Let me just put it in part just for a minute, if you don't mind. My wife and I and our family got to spend an extended period of time on the mission field in the country of Macedonia. That's part of the area where Paul walked, part of the area where Paul preached, the country of Macedonia in Eastern Europe. We were there and doing missionary work for several months. We would go down to what we called the Pit Bazaar. It was the Bit Bazaar, but we called it the Pit Bazaar. And down beside that, the bazaar, you say, well, Richard, what's a bazaar? It's a big flea market. That's where everybody sells. If you wanted to buy anything, you went down to the bazaar. That's where you bought your beans and your potatoes and your everything you bought there. Wasn't no Walmarts, Targets, or any, praise God, there wasn't none of that stuff there. It was a good place to be. But we would go down there, and right next to the bazaar was a place where the Islamic people worshipped. I don't know if they call them mosques. I don't know what they call them. After seeing what goes on, I'll just call it a mess. Amen. Yeah. And music and chimes and things would begin to play. And every man would go there. They'd begin to wash their feet and they'd wash their hands. And I stood on the outside looking in, and there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men in a building about this size or an open area about this size. And they all had their little rugs and they'd get down on that and they would do all the things that they do to worship Allah and to worship Muhammad or whoever. And they'd done all that. And I thought, my soul, if we could get Christians in America to be as dedicated to serving and worshiping a real God as they are doing a false God. Let me just give you one other quick illustration. I drive a truck 3 and 4 days a week hauling paper over to where your son-in-law works. It's a big, from the big Domtar mill across the river to the other Domtar mill, I haul paper all 12 hours a day, back and forth, back and forth. One day, not this summer, last summer, I'm sitting in the truck waiting to get loaded, and there's another semi parked right beside me. It was hot. It was summertime. This fella, he was taking water, and he's pouring water all over his hands. And that's nothing out of the ordinary. If your hands get dirty, you get cleaned up. He stuck his feet out, and he started washing his feet. And I thought, well, now that's a little strange. He turned back into his truck, and he was doing some things. I saw him sitting right beside me, 10 feet away. He come out of that truck, and he had a rug. And he had his... had some type of their scripture, their whatever. And he went right over next to where my truck was sitting, the semi was sitting, and was next to a guardrail. And it's kind of ironic, he got his iPhone or iPad or whatever he had, and he started looking around. He was trying to find which way was east. Are y'all with me? And he got that thing where it was east. He put that thing down. He had his little turban. And I'm not making fun of him, all right? I mean, he's sincere. But he's sincerely wrong. And he got that thing, and he got down on that in the middle of Domtar parking lot, truck drivers all around, people standing and sitting in the guard shack watching him. And he got down on his knees, and he began to go through all the things that he does at a certain time of the day, praying towards the east. In Kingsport, Tennessee. And I thought to myself, shame on me. I mean, he's willing to get down in the middle of a parking lot where everybody's watching him to pray to his false god. Why can't we pray? Some folks are ashamed to pray when they go to the restaurant and other things. This fellow wasn't. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying we're better because of him. We're birthed because of him, but we are blessed because of him. We are under his control. The Bible said in Acts 17:28, "For in him we live and move and have our being." We got out of bed this morning because of him. And if we get out of bed tomorrow, it'll be because of him, because we live in him. The Christian, we live in him. And we move about. We breathe. We move. We're under his control. We're also, we are his creation. I don't care what the evolutionists say. You may think you evolved from a tadpole, but I don't. I've preached it all my life, and I've been taught it before I was preaching, Preacher Vinoy. If folks should ever get the first verse of the Bible settled, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. If a lost person will ever get that settled, in the beginning, God created. It wasn't some cosmic explosion. Wasn't the Big Bang Theory. Wasn't the Big Boom or a blast. God said it. And it happened. But the Bible tells us over in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. Here's what the Bible says. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." If you run into an evolutionist, take them to Colossians chapter 1:16. God created it all. Amen. Well, we're under his control. We are his creation, but also by him all things consist. You know what's holding this thing together? It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. It's not the preachers. That's not who's holding this thing together. If you want to know, it's in Colossians 1:17. The next verse, the Bible said, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." We're right on schedule. We may not like it, and I'm sure not pleased with what's going on, but everything's right on schedule. God's got this thing under control. You say, "Well, preacher, how's it going to end?" Well, I know about how it's going to end, just don't know exactly when it's going to end. And until he does, we are to stand, as a preacher said this morning, we are to take a stand against sin, stand on some things, and praise God, preach God, and live right, and try to win others to Jesus Christ until he comes. Well, by him all things consist. We're blessed by him. We're blessed because of him. We're better because of him. And we also are birthed because of him. Do you not remember? I hope you'll go back tonight just for a few moments. And I don't want you to drag out old dirty laundry and the things that you were before you got saved. But can you go back to the day that you remember, that you know, that you got saved? where he found you, where you were at in the cesspool of sin. You might have been just a church member at a young age. When you realized you were lost without Jesus Christ, without no hope, just go back for a moment and remember. Because of that, we've received something we don't deserve. Notice not only we've received something we don't deserve, but we have a reservation. And sometime soon we will depart. As dark as it may be, we're still going out of here one of these days. You say, well, preacher, we may go through suffering. We may. Nobody's ever been guaranteed a soft and smooth Christian life. In fact, if you're here tonight lost and you think it's all honey and spice and everything nice, I just want you to know before you get saved, it's not all easy, but it sure is good having the Lord to go with you. There's problems. Saved people have problems just like lost people do. Sometimes I think we have more from time to time, but God's able to help us through them. We have a reservation, and soon we're going to depart. When I left Georgia a little over a year ago and moved back in June of last year, I went down to the post office in Americus, Georgia, and I filled out the paperwork, and I said, this is going to be my forwarding address. And it wasn't but just a few days, almost my bills beat me up here. Amen. You know what, if you've ever moved much in the ministry, if you've ever moved much, you've had to experience that. Go down to the post office and I've got a forwarding, you've got a forwarding address, amen. You say, well, preacher, what's the address? I don't know, but it's out of this world. Amen. You say, well, I don't know where that mansion's going to be. Don't know what street. Don't really matter. But what I do know, one of these days soon, we're going to depart. The Bible talks about that departure over in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. At verse number 51, beloved, or behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Well, isn't it good to know when you get ready, when we leave this walk of life and we make that transformation, whether it be by death or whether by rapture, whatever, we're not going to take this old rickety, wore out, sin-cursed, diseased flesh with us. We're going to be changed. Won't be no more cancer. Won't have to have any eyeglasses. Won't have to have any hearing aids. Won't have any of those other problems that we all sometimes suffer with. Thank God heaven wouldn't be heaven if we had that mess, would it? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I never thought about this until today. I've read this. I read over these scriptures at the last trump. Now in Revelation, there's going to be some trumpets. But this is, listen, I got to thinking about this, got to studying about this, preacher. This is the last trump. I never thought about it this way. This is the last trump's going to sound. I got to thinking about that. In Paul's day and in the biblical days, they didn't have smartphones where you could make one phone call and everybody get a text message or a message. Are y'all with me? Stay with me now. But what they would do, if there was an announcement to be made to a nation or to a city or to a group of people, somebody would go out and they'd pucker up real big and they'd blow the trumpet. And that means everybody get assembled. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's going to be a last trumpet. It's the last call for the church. And it means that we're going to take an assembly. It means that we're going to leave this walk of life as it's already. We shall all be changed. And we're going to leave out of here for the last time. It's the last opportunity for the church. The last trump. You say, well, I'm going to wait till I hear the trumpet blow and get saved, preacher. It'll be too late. Well, I'll wait just before. You don't know when it's going to blow. Could blow before we get done tonight. Could blow before you have to get up and go to team camp retreat tomorrow. It could blow before the sun sets behind the mountains tonight. It could blow before you get up and go to work tomorrow. The last trump's going to sound. And we're going to be assembled on a distant shore. I never thought about it that way. And the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Paul believed it was going to blow in his days because he said, and we shall be changed. Paul thought he was going to go in the rapture in his day. If Paul thought it then, how much closer can we be tonight? All my life, Brother Vinoy, I've heard it preached. I preached it myself. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Better get ready. Jesus is coming. And I've heard people say, well, I've heard that all my life. Jesus is still coming. I thought he'd come 10 years ago. I thought he might have come 20 years ago. He could come tonight. Just like you said this morning, that fellow goes to the jail. That last prisoner, that last person gets saved. The bride of Christ is made up. We're out of here, folks. That last trump's going to blow. Reveille is going to take place, and we're going to set out of here. And we're going to set foot in heaven. And for this incorruptible, or this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. Listen, the reservation and departure is sure. Is sure. You say, preacher, you've been preaching it. It's not happened. It's going to happen. This Bible says it's going to happen. We must believe it's going to happen because God's Word said it is, and we need to believe it. Listen, this reservation and departure is sure. We shall. We shall is what Paul, that word shall, it's a promise. It's a promise from God. It's a promise that he's going to keep. He's coming back for his children. We're going to be, listen, I've been called, we're going to get called up, caught up, and carried out one of these days. We're going to be leaving out of here soon. So, and over in the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we use it a lot at funerals, but we shall see him. We shall, we're going to leave, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to leave one of these days. It's a promise. This reservation and departure is sure. I'm talking about we have a reservation, and soon it will be a time to depart. This reservation, secondly, is a departure. It will be sudden. Sudden. In an hour that you think not, the Son of Man appeareth. Son of God appeareth. Listen, I don't know of many politicians in Washington, D.C., that are waiting for Jesus to come. Now, I'm sure there's some that are saved. I don't doubt that. I'm not saying all politicians are heathens and wicked. I'm not saying that. I was reading in the paper last night. I got the Times News, Kingsport News. I told my wife, I said, I want to keep this. I'm going to keep it back. I got to reading about that fellow over around Nashville that's already getting ready to introduce a bill that'll protect pastors and preachers. In case, listen, I've been telling churches everywhere I go and every church I've pastored for years, you need to change your bylaws and constitution. That way that crowd can't come in here and want to use the church. They can't expect the preacher to preach them a wedding. Just get it in your bylaws and constitution. It's not going to happen. Yeah. But not everybody's like that, preacher. It's sad. But there's some fella that's a Christian. It's in the paper. A politician, and he's already trying to get some sort of a legislature that'll help protect pastors and preachers. I say amen. But I don't need a politician to help me, but I do. I am glad that I have a Lord and Savior that's well able to take care of me. Amen. Are you listening? What are you saying, preacher? This reservation and departure is sudden. The Bible said there in verse number 52, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised. It's going to be quick. It's going to be sudden. Not only is this departure sure, and this reservation and departure is going to be sudden, but this reservation and departure will begin with a sound. With a sound. It's going to start with a sound. What's that sound, preacher? At that last trump. I know there's been a lot of speculation, and I don't listen. It's not going to matter what the sound is, because if you've been washed in the blood, you're going out. If you're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you're leaving. Some say, and I've seen Brother Ralph Sexton had one of them big old horns and blowed it, and that sent cold chills up and down your spine, and that was what they used to blow in old. And it may be like that. That's fine. I don't care. God's in control, man. Just blow that thing, and we're gone. Amen. Do you not remember? Do you not remember tonight that we have received something that we do not deserve? That's forgiveness that is assured. Do you not remember that we have a reservation, and sometime soon we'll depart? That's a forwarding address. Let me give you this lastly. We have a relationship. Do you not remember? Now stay with me here, and I'm through. We have a relationship with someone who's hard to describe. It's hard to describe. I find that the men in the Bible, the men of God in the Bible, had a hard time describing him. How did they do it? Well, let me just say this is a full assessment. Then the Song of Solomon. Solomon said in chapter 5, verse number 16, yea, here's what he said about it. He's altogether lovely. And Solomon went on to say in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse number 1, he said, I am the rose of Sharon. He's talking about that great lovely one. He said, I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. Them some pretty good words, but those don't even touch what he is. Have you ever tried to describe Jesus to a lost person? They said, well, have you ever met him? Well, no. Have you ever talked to him in person? Well, no. Well, how do you know? And you know, they don't understand. But as anything as big as the Lord Jesus Christ gets on the inside, it's just something about we want to tell somebody. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 16, John the Revelator said it talked about him as the bright and morning star. And those words don't even touch the greatness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's hard to describe, but I know he lives on the inside of me. I know the Holy Spirit abides within. Maybe hard to describe, but he's altogether lovely. He is the rose of Sharon, the bright morning star. He's all those things and much, much more. Let me give you this, and I'm through. We started out talking about him. I want to end talking about him. And use a acrostic of him, H-I-M. The letter H surely reminds us that Christ is the head of the church, the healer of the body, the helper of the helpless, the harbor of the soul, the husband of the vineyard, the hope of the ages. Also, we are reminded that he's the heavenly one, the humble one, the holy one. And we must add, he is the highest one. I surely reminds us that when we think about him that he is the immortal one, the incorruptible one, the infallible one, the invisible one, the invincible one, the incomparable one. And we also need to be reminded that he is our intercessor, our instructor, our inspiration, and our illumination. The letter M. We find that he's the maker, the man, the master, the manifester, the minister, the messenger. He's the meek one, the merciful one, the mighty one. And he's the mind of God. His disciples had forgotten how great God had been watching others getting fed and how the miracles that, and he said, have you not remembered? I want us to go out of here tonight. And as bad as things may be around us, there's still one that we can follow. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you not forgotten? Don't forget tonight where Jesus found you in the cesspool of sin. Don't forget it. Don't forget what he's done for you. Don't forget how he saved you. Don't forget all the blessings of this life that he's given to us freely, without charge, without expense. With nothing in expectation in return, but oh, I do want to serve him. I want to love him, want to praise him, want to work till the master comes. Have you not forgotten? I was reading today something that A.W. Tozer said, and I'm through. A.W. Tozer said it like this. If I can find it, it's amongst all this mess somewhere. A.W. Tozer said the great heresy of the church today is that we think we're in the entertainment business. I hope nobody comes, don't believe anybody does. I don't go to church to be entertained. I go to be encouraged. I go to get preached to. I hope that's why, I know that's why you're here tonight. And I do appreciate this pastor and allowing me the opportunity. Pastor, you come and conclude the service. Do you not remember? Don't forget what God's done for you. God bless you.